Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Syndication Station, the weekly podcast where we watch old television shows, talk about them, kiss, make out, shirts off, you know, just real bro stuff, hanging out. With me, as always, if I said that as the intro last week, don't hate on a brother. I'm trying to come up with new material. It's hard. It's real hard. It's hard out there for a pimp.
It's only been joining me five days.
Are we your hoes, Mike?
Joining me, as always, are my top bottom and my bottom bottom bitch. Dom Mosquiti, Josh Henderson. Fellas, say hello.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
It's okay, us from that other shows.
Well,
no, you shut up.
See you guys later. Dom Mosquiti from the Internet Continue, Fantasy Fiction, The Soup, all the things. You can catch Dom's blog over at, is it eonline.com, Dom? Where can people check that out?
You can see some of the stuff I do on thesoup.tv.
It's fantastic. And Josh Henderson, who digs graves during the day and stocks shelves at night. He's not on the internet at all, and you can't follow him on Twitter at Henderson1983.
I'm a nobody.
The only man sponsored by fingerless hobo gloves.
Dude, I should be. I'm wearing,
you
dude,
wear them all the time.
I'm wearing them right now. I'm wearing them right now. In my house, I'm wearing
them. Are you in your house? You're wearing fingerless gloves. I could probably draw a pretty good picture of what you look like right now.
I would love to hear it. Let's hear it. I'll tell you how accurate you are. I want to hear this.
Dude, tweet it. Tweet it to the Syndication Station Twitter. It's live. It's happening. We're blowing minds. People are going to listen to this tomorrow and be like, I saw that tweet last night.
All right. I'll take a picture of myself, and then you describe.
Okay. Josh is wearing his... he's wearing his brimmed hat that is like a winter hat with a brim on it.
It's like wool.
He's got a black hoodie on in some fashion, some sort of hooded sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. And he's got fingerless gloves, and his cat is not too far away.
All right. You're pretty accurate. I'm not wearing a black hoodie. I'm wearing a gray hoodie. That's the
Is it the Wizard Yell one?
No, it's a Harley Davidson hoodie.
What the hell do you have a Harley Davidson hoodie for?
Because he's a fucking badass. That's why. Listen, Josh has got that. Josh has got that fingerless hobo glove sponsorship on lockdown. He's working real hard on that. That bindle satchel. sponsorship. Yeah, he's got to get the bandana bindle. That's all I had. All right. Well, I'll see you guys later. Have a good one, guys. I'm leaving.
Each bindle carries one can of beans, one spoon, one picture of a former lover, and or sexy lady,
former sweetheart
too, and some sort of knife or shiv. But that's it.
I exchange sexy lady for fish skeleton?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can take. I like that you called it fish skeleton and not fish bones.
Why don't you replace the shiv with the fish bones? That would make more sense.
Because you're going to need to shiv somebody. Come on now.
Well, you can shiv them with the fish bones.
The cut of your jib.
If I learned anything from Tom and Jerry, it's that fish bones on a trash can lid, that is the
delicacy.
That's the Thanksgiving dinner of hobos. That's the bum's meal of bum's meals right there. Guys, we're doing a podcast. Maybe we should... No, let's not. I don't care. In case anybody doesn't know, Josh and Dom do another podcast. It's the Sister Kissing Cousin Distant Sibling.
Mike, you already did this part. You don't have to do this part.
Estranged Father. I just want to tell people to listen to Fantasy Fiction. It's fantastic. You guys can just Google search Fantasy Fiction and figure it out from there, because I don't need to teach you how to use the internet. And you can also catch Josh Weekly on Continue Show. That's it, right? Is that all the stuff?
Yeah, good? I think that's all the stuff. Have a good night, everyone.
I tried to end this podcast like 5 minutes ago. What are you guys holding me up for?
Can we have like an SNL ending to the podcast where we thank everyone? I'd like to thank Rihanna. I'd like to thank this band that no one knows who's in it.
The guy plays the saxophone with the blonde hair every week, everyone. If you guys are listening to this podcast and you're not watching 5x5 over on Arcade Sushi, do Josh and I a favor and go check out our new show. It's an anti-list show where we don't talk about video games, but it's on a video game website. So try it on for size? ?
Hey, you know what I want to try on for size?
What's that, Dom?
What you guys did this week.
Perfect transition. Josh.
I watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I love that movie.
You know what? I almost watched it the other night, but I was like, nah, I'm just going to watch more Star Trek.
Yep.
It's kind of like Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. I need to sit down and watch it. I have the soundtrack on vinyl. I've seen most of it. It was one of the, like, I had HBO always growing up. So, like, that was a movie that always played on it. I actually also just saw Tron for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's another movie that I kind of saw all of it, like, in different pieces. Parts. Right. So, like, Close Encounters, I kind of know everything, but I need to sit down and watch
it. Dude, you would love it. It's really good. It's a great
movie. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll watch it.
It's one of those movies where, like, you know, not to draw arbitrary lines in the sand about, like, you know, versions of films or whatever, but, like, that's one of the ones where you have to watch the extended cut. Like, the theatrical cut's good, but, like,
I think the extended cut's on Netflix right now. I think.
That's awesome, man.
But, yeah, I saw Tron yesterday for the first time in full, and what I will say about that film is that it is really rad to look at.
Yeah, it is.
It still holds up because it's like no other film looks like that.
That's right.
But the script is a real piece of dirt, in my opinion.
It's reverse Last Starfighter.
Right. That's exactly what it is, Josh. Motherfucker, you took that from me. No, I don't mean like you didn't take my bit. Like I was about to say, it was really brave of Disney at the time. They were like, let's create like a, like when Cyberpunk was just becoming Cyberpunk, it's a sci-fi techno thriller that explores the idea of deity and their creations. And that was really brave for Disney at the time. They were putting out movies like Black Hole, the Black Cauldron was an animated film they put out at the time, like darker themes. And so they were like, you know, they were like, hey, what if God was one of us? He was a computer program just like one of us. And and that's like, there's a great moment. There's a really cool bullseye moment in that movie that like sort of grounds the script, but like sort of like, you could wrap the whole script into is when Tron is sitting across from like Flynn, mm-hmm. and he's like, I don't know if I believe in the users. And it's just like, oh, that's an interesting concept. Like what if like, you know, a creator was, you know, or what if a man was sitting across from his creator and just pontificating about how he doesn't believe in the idea mm-hmm. of deity. And, you know, he's faced with it, like, you know, and it's now they're on an equal playing field. I don't know. I think it's
a literal playing field.
A literal playing field. We really just get the tip of everything, you know? And it doesn't feel too good, but it doesn't feel too bad.
Yeah.
I like the movie. I like the Dom. You know what I like about that movie, too, is how Flynn and Blondie had a relationship in the real world and broke up. And then she's with Alan in the real world. And then when he's like when he goes into Tron world, he falls in love with her again. And then he has to come back to the real world. He has to come back from Oz.
And that's not as tragic as it should be.
It's not in the movie. They don't play it up as tragedy, but it always stuck in my, like, the cockles of my heart when I was a kid. I was always like, they need to get together because, you know, you're 10.
Yeah, because you want everyone to feel the good feelings.
Right. But as we know, you don't always get what you want. Maybe somebody should write a song about that.
Yeah, but if you try
Dom, what'd you do this week?
I watched Tron.
What did you do? I talked to you guys about watching Tron and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
All right, let's get right into the discussion of X-Files.
That was about the long and short of my week. Buckle up, fellas. I don't know if you can handle it. Guys, I actually did go grocery shopping this week, so that was...
Did you get any chocolate milk?
I bought a whole gallon of low-fat milk.
Oh.
Ew.
So you changed. You're an adult now.
Whole milk, bro. What are you doing?
Whole milk? Are you kidding me? This stuff tastes sour.
No, man. It tastes like goddamn delicious nectar of the titty gods is what it tastes like.
No way. 2% all the way, you loser.
What?
Jesus
God.
Christ. Yeah, that's right. I go two per.
You're a goddamn two-per. God.
Man, Josh, what do you drink, Skim?
I drink whole milk, bro.
I mean, Dom, what do you drink? That's what I
drink two-per.
Two-per, homie.
Wait, what just happened? Where am I? What the fuck just happened?
What milk are you drinking?
Oh, wait, is 2% not the same as whole milk?
No,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's like only 2%
fat. 2% of the milk.
Oh, I get low fat, I guess, is 1%. I don't know. Guys, I don't even know what fucking world I'm in. You just blew my mind. I've known you both for 10 years. I confused one of you for the other. I don't know that whole milk is 2%. Is this even Syndication Station? What podcast am I on?
Anyway.
So this week we asked you guys to watch X-Files Beyond the Sea. So you can make the transition right there. We don't even have to start a new track.
Yep.
I'm pulling back the curtain. People don't even have to see.
Come on through.
Come on through the curtain, folks. This podcast is edited. So this week we asked you guys to watch X-Files Beyond the Sea. We postponed it for a week or something like that. I don't remember what happened. I don't know what percent milk I had for breakfast. And it was a twofer today. And we had a whole bunch of really interesting comments this week and a little bit of change of pace from some of the stuff we've been watching before. So before we really get into it, who wants to lead us off?
I will lead us off here, Michael.
Thank you, Dominic.
You're welcome. Good casting on the father here. Am I right?
Don Davis, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, but considering his previous paranormal role, and I don't want to spoil it, and that's all I'll say about it. But he was in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, he was. Yep. And he was great.
Interesting things happened to his character. Were they resolved? I don't know. We'll see if you watch Twin Peaks.
If we watch it on this show, this episode is great casting. Josh, what did you think about this episode?
I forgot about this episode until obviously I started watching it again. And I forgot the whole Scully and her parents crap that goes on in the show. And then I was like, oh, I remember now. And
For better or for worse.
Yeah, Scully's mom is kind of hot.
Her sister's really hot when we get to those episodes.
Wait, is the sister? Yeah, the sister, not the mom.
All right.
But the mom's all right, too.
But the mom, too.
Hey, by the way, this is a Christmas episode.
It is. And Dom, how much do you love Christmas?
I love Christmas. It's great.
Dude, it's Christmas.
But I love finding Christmas movies and TV shows that aren't necessarily Christmas movies, but take place during Christmas.
Trading Places.
Perfect example. Great movie, Trading Places.
Trading Places is a great Christmas movie.
Yep.
I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang as a Christmas movie.
I never saw it.
Oh, we got to watch it sometime.
I know. Everyone always tells me I'll watch it.
That's one of those movies when you watch it, you're like, oh, I should have written that. not that we could have, but I'm just saying like.
Oh, we could have.
Like, well, we could have. But all right. So this episode, I asked everybody to watch this just because I thought it was a little bit heavier episode after we had watched some lighter fare for a week or two. And people kind of wanted us get back to some heavier stuff. So I was like, you know what? You want the heavy, I'll fucking bring it. Melodrama, bitch. This episode has a plot that's very similar to Silence of the Lambs, which a lot of people pointed out on the subreddit. And there were a couple of really good comments about that, or rather insights into that. I'd like to start off by saying that even though we're gonna run into this, you guys are gonna see us run into this, and this isn't just for our younger listeners, and by younger I mean anybody more than 10 years younger than us. So anybody in their early 20s or teens.
That's a lot of math.
That's a fuck ton of math. I would like to point out that I would like to say that you're going to see a lot of plot and theme elements reused in certain genres or even cross genre. And I don't necessarily – I would invite you to not dismiss that as just being, oh, this is the Silence of the Lambs episode of the X-Files.
Right. Because things didn't work like that back then.
Right.
There wasn't a compendium of human knowledge at your fingertips and a podcast about the TV shows
to
compare and contrast. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the media – exactly, Josh. Media was much less centralized than it is now, or much more decentralized, I should say. Mm-hmm. And also, there was a broader gap between the media you consumed. You know, obviously, we were just entering the information age. It's this show brought that to bear in a lot of ways, through its own media and all. But, you know, not everything was just a click away or you couldn't just watch it all the time. So revisiting similar plots and themes or settings or even characters was sometimes a treat. And even if they treaded really closely to the source material – it's a re-envisioning. It's a reimagining. It's something I always say is like a variation on a theme, you know? And
you know what's a great episode of the X-Files?
What's that, Tom?
Frozen, right? That's the name of the episode?
Which one's that?
That's the episode that's the thing. It's just the thing.
It is. It's such a good episode.
I think it's called Frozen.
And
that's
kind of like
maybe that's a Disney movie.
That kind of is the movie is like that too. The first X-Files movie.
The first X-Files movie is like that. And Dom, you're absolutely right. That's a great episode of the X-Files. And it was just like, this is the X-Files does the thing. Yeah. And I can understand where some of our audience may be. And I'm not saying this in response to anybody's comments because I actually thought your comments were very constructive. Your comments inspired me to say this just as something I'd like to get on a soapbox about in the beginning of our episode, is that, like, you know, nowadays when things are remade, and I know the this day and age is like the second biggest logical fallacy you can possibly get into, but I would offer that the way media has expanded, the way it's ballooned, and also with our accessibility to it, that there's so much more of a disingenuous nature to the idea of remake or revisitation these days. You know, a lot of it's a cash grab. You know, because media is so much more decentralized, it's a matter of like, trying to get everybody's attention as quickly as possible.
There's a difference between remake and what you're saying, like a cash grab, or and just a storytelling technique that has been used forever.
What people need to realize, going off of that, is that every story has been told.
Yeah,
It's very hard to surprise audiences sometimes, and that's why when it happens, like Game of Thrones, it's a big deal because we feel feelings in Game of Thrones. Not to derail this whole thing.
No. But we're talking about television. Let's do it.
Yeah, we have feelings for certain characters that we shouldn't be having, and we're concerned and we're afraid of our characters that something's going to happen to them because it's kind of a new playground.
Right.
But you know, let's look at one of our favorite films, the three of us. The Natural.
Absolutely.
That is an adaptation of like Homeric stories.
Absolutely.
And various things you could draw to that. But that's the whole thing, is that human beings have been telling stories forever. And that's why Amazing Stories, that intro, I really like that intro.
I like that intro
because because we've been telling stories for so long, we tell the same stories a lot.
Yep.
And it's just this. Within the last 100 years, have people been doing it for money? That's why we get upset when we see, oh, well, it's a remake or reimagining.
Oh, it's Star Trek, you know, the but it's are not just trying really to make money. Star Trek. Right, exactly, exactly. You know, like, so I would just say that, especially in a show like this, where they obviously have created a setting where they get to do a lot with the stories, and I know we keep on talking about it, you know, and maybe we'll watch it even, is like Futurama is a really good example of this too, where they're like, okay, well, we're just going to take this story and then we're going to give it our spin, and it ends up coming out, well, after you put it through that like function, it comes out like this really unique solution. It's like a very interesting product of the equation by the time it's done, you know. And Dom, like you said, with The Natural, I mean, that is so Homeric. That's so much the Odyssey that Dabney Coleman. No, Dabney Coleman? Who is it in the movie? Not Dabney Coleman. Well, I can't think of his name. The dad from Christmas Story. I can't remember his name. In that movie, he plays...
Ben Gazzara.
Oh, it was Edward James almost. he's the Cyclops in that movie, and he literally has one eye. Jump ahead 20 years to Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Same idea. The Coen brothers are like, let's do the Odyssey. But instead of it being a Depression-era baseball team, they're like, well, Depression-era nonetheless. It'll just be a Depression-era fairy tale in the Deep South. Right. And so you can even have the same source material in the same setting and the movies be so, you know, just such unique takes on like the same idea or just such unique adventures. So like to Dom, more to your point, like I would just offer that if you're unfamiliar with the monomyth, the hero's journey, I think is – Hero's Journey, right? That's I know monomyth's like the academic version, just the thing to say, or the hero with a thousand faces. Like, if you guys aren't really familiar with that, our listeners, I would suggest do some further reading on the matter. Because without us retelling the same stories over and over again, I would submit that things could get really boring really quickly. Or you may not be.
You lose a part hooked. Of yourself. You lose a part of the things you like. You take the things you like and the things you want to be in your own psyche, and you write about them, and you make a character that's based off of those things. And some people are going to like certain things similarly than you, and some people are going to, you know, every now and then come up with, like you said, a new equation, like Star Wars. Like, here's a Buck Rogers fucking fantasy movie. What?
Yeah, dude, like, if we weren't retelling the monomyth, like the only movie that would have been the hero's journey would have been The Hidden Fortress. It just would have stopped with Kurosawa's film.
Right.
And instead though, we get Star Wars, then The Matrix.
Bug's Life.
Harry Potter. Come on, get on my level. You know, so like...
But not to blow everyone's mind for a second,
let's do it.
But people seem to be real upset about the new Ninja Turtles movie. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The Ninja Turtles, it's just a big ripoff of fucking Daredevil.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, and even so, like, and it's not a ripoff of Daredevil. I mean, it's clearly its own thing, but it's really inspired by Daredevil. I heard Kevin Eastman talk about this because, like, the Foot Clan is just the fist or whatever it was in
that's why it's the foot
in Daredevil.
That's perfect. I don't know why it's a foot.
It's just that's the parallel he drew, and he really likes Daredevil, so he's like, okay, it's gonna be this. Yeah. So everything you make is just pure inspiration. And also remember that the storyteller is just a human being,
right?
And if he can make you believe or be invested in these things that don't exist, that's a pretty great illusion. Mm-hmm. That just happened.
Yep.
That's magic, baby.
That's magic, baby. Darren McGavin, that was his name from The Natural.
Darren McGavin.
It was Darren McGavin, you guys. It was Darren McGavin all along. So this episode of The X-Files is the plot is a little similar to Silence of the Lambs, where you have a law enforcement FBI agent, even female FBI agent, even confessing. Oh, now I'm going to interrupt the podcast another 20 minutes remembering the word I want to say now. But she's confiding in a serial killer. Right. And especially about the troubles in her family and everything and all. But I would submit, again, that this is just a familiar setting to lull you into a sense of security so the larger ideas of the episode can play out. You're like, oh, right. I kind of know this tale, so you're comfortable. It's not totally foreign territory.
Right, while simultaneously being a ridiculous juxtaposition.
Absolutely.
Like, in reality, like, would that ever happen? Probably not.
That's why you get to watch this TV show about it. Exactly, yeah. Josh. Thematically, the two couldn't be more different. And don't get me wrong, I love Demi. I love Silence of the Lambs. You know, that's the movie. It's the movie. It's so good. But a few people on the subreddit had mentioned similarities, and I'm glad more than anything. Again, I'm glad everybody is picking up on these compare contrast or making these analogies, because not only does it inspire dialogue on our end, but it allows us to all have a conversation about the matter. Again, whether the episode was a familiar story to you or not, they do get to flip the script on you a little bit, create the variation again on the idea of it. And I would also just tell everybody to hang in there. I know somebody had left a comment that they were a little bored by the episode and they came back and tried it a second time. I would just like to say, if you're listening to this podcast, trust us. We're going to recommend episodes and television shows that we think are worth you checking out.
Besides the obvious, this episode is very different because it is starring Scully.
Yes, it is.
Mulder is just in the back seat for the most of the part, and even in a Mulder-driven story, Scully is still there to go ahead and be like, well, let me take apart this heart or something, whatever she's doing. But in this one, Mulder is just, he's toe up.
Yeah,
he's in his bed, and he's like about to like he's recovering, you know.
Yeah,
and
what a brilliant way to sideline him. How do we take him out of the limelight of this episode?
He gets shot,
right?
Because he's a human being. He's not this superhero that you think he is.
And
Scully has to be that. And what's also really cool about this episode is that Scully is not really sexy in this episode.
No,
she's just very serious. And when she has that scene where she's like, I'll put you back in that chair, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, God damn.
Yeah, she gets a little, she gets heated, man.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of emotional content in this episode, whereas before she's sort of just like you said, Dom, I got to take apart this science thing. Got doctors now.
I got to go do the smart stuff because I'm a lady.
Because I'm the smart 90s lady.
She gets dirty. She gets dirty in this.
Dude, she does, man. And this is probably the first time it happens in the series, but it is certainly not the last. And what's great is this episode sets the tempo for the viewer knowing that, like, it's not just – even though the show is based around, like, you know, Mulder being the believer, Scully being his foil – you know, so she's not really a sidekick, but she does play, you know, Watson to his Holmes, like, so to speak, you know, even though those two couldn't be any further apart. This is a great episode that puts her up front and says, you know, and not only develops her character in a very interesting way, but also says that, like, you know, this is not going to be the same thing you're familiar with, like, over and over again. This is not going to be something that you know, it's not going to be cliched. It's not just about her playing second fiddle to him, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And Gillian Anderson, she acts the pantsuit off of this episode. The power suit pants. Gillian Anderson's always great. She's always a great actress, and she's especially great in a comedic capacity, even on this show. Like, her comedy chops are awesome. She's great deadpan, and she's good at wacky, too, and everything. But, man, something about this performance, whether you consider it melodramatic or not, it's very personal. And it's not just because she cries. Like, it's just I don't know. It feels very tangible to me. Felt like she tapped into something that was very real in her life, maybe, or something. I'm not sure, but whew, man, rock me back a little bit.
Number 7.
Al Gore is the result of a crossbreeding experiment between a man and a coffee table.
So Anderson's great, as always. Duchovny's even good in this episode. We'll get to that and all. But man, Brad Dourif as Arthur Lee Boggs.
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit.
He's awesome. Because that performance, you don't know. You really don't. The whole time in this episode, you're trying to figure that out. Is he telling the truth? Is this a whole, elaborate scam? Right. And I got lost in this episode because I forgot that I was watching it. Like, I'm sitting there watching, experiencing it, and my brain kind of turned off and I stopped thinking. Like, usually when I watch a show for this show, I'm making a bunch of notes,
taking notes
about everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for this episode, I think this was the first time I saw this one. For some whatever reason, I had skipped it. And I was completely lost in it. I thought it did a great job. It's a great episode.
Absolutely. I mean, Dorf's a great character actor. You guys have seen him in everything. People most famously know him as, I think I mentioned this before, he's Chucky from Child's Play series. He does the voice of that, but he was on Deadwood. He was in Lord of the Rings.
He's so good in Deadwood.
Dude, he's so good in Deadwood. I tell everybody how great he is in Deadwood. He's the doctor, and he's such an asshole. He's a winning man, though. He's so good, man. But yeah, Dom, it's interesting that the monster of the week in this episode isn't the serial killer. It's Boggs.
Right.
But he's this really sad and sympathetic, even though he's a total psychopath. And like
he's
you said,
a maniac.
That's the riddle you're trying to like undo. It's just so sad. I'm going to take it to one of our Reddit followers. I don't know what the correct word is, guys. Just leave me a note on Reddit to what I should call our audience.
Fellow gentlemen in the discussion.
I like saying audience. I like saying listeners. I'll say listeners. I'll say listeners, not commenters.
Our friends. One of our friends.
His name was Guru Ga Travis.
I was going to point his comment out, too.
You pointed it out. You tell us. What did Guru Ga...
Was it about... where he says, I enjoy the role reversal in Beyond the Sea. I get the impression that if Scully's father hadn't passed away, she might have just sided with Mulder and written off Boggs as a psychopath.
That wasn't, because somebody else had a similar comment and I wanted to spread around the wealth. But,
that comment is also very... I agree with that comment.
Guru God Travis, he left a whole bunch of good comments. He said about Boggs, he was like, this man is given a glimpse of his own personal hell. And he would do anything to prevent him from going there, because he talks about the dark place and how awful it is.
Yeah.
However, even after finding out that there was no deal at the end of the episode, he still helps Scully find the killer.
Yeah.
And so Guru God Travis says, he's like, I was hoping that the second time he walked down death row, his victims wouldn't be there. Like even the audience is hoping for redemption for this monster.
Right.
Because
they tricked you into liking him.
Oh, my God. And in the darkest moment in the episode, and we're doing this episode a whole backwards, I don't give a fuck. The darkest part of this episode is when they open up like the window and Scully's not there.
Yeah. Yep.
And, it's great for her character that she doesn't go, because it shows that she comes to terms and she has closure and everything.
It also is a failsafe that had she gone and had Boggs told her the message that her father was going to give her, that she might start then having to believe that the paranormal is real.
Exist, right. That it wasn't just like a waking dream or just a silly moment when she saw him, or that like Boggs couldn't have coincidentally put it all together like she tries to, retcon at the end of the episode. But so she doesn't go because she's like, oh, of course my dad was proud of me, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like you said, Josh is a failsafe, like, you know, as a way to rationalize. Mm-hmm. But for Boggs, he dies alone.
Yeah.
He
wanted her to be
to,
there for his own reasons too, not just to.
And he died. You know, he gets it. He gets what he deserves, I guess. Or maybe he doesn't.
That Alka-Seltzer really killed the shit out of him.
it's so goddamn dark and so great. Oh, God.
We love this episode, though, because our character walks the line in the first season. The first, what is this, episode 13?
13,
right?
Halfway through the first season, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great episode for the first season, because we see the character almost believe.
Right.
And that's what's great, is that her character just can't yet.
She just can't yet. But it does does come around. We'll get to that in a second.
Things happen. Weirdly, it's sort
bees.
Of...
there are a lot of bees. All right, so let me throw this to you guys, us film students here. Let's just talk about this. Listeners, you can join in too. Come on, pull up a chair.
Listener, you go with listeners. Okay.
How about the opening scene with no music until she answers the phone?
Yeah.
Man, does that make you pay attention to what's going on or what? It's like every line of dialogue, you're just hanging on it because of that like that negative space. Like the absence of any other kind of like sound.
It's like a rest in music. It's like you got to have that sometimes to pay attention to what's going to happen.
And Dom pointed out it's a Christmas episode. It creeped me the fuck out because it's like when you'd stay up late with your family on like Christmas time and or like around Christmas and then everybody go to bed and it's just like just waiting there. And there's some kind of like weird pregnant pause hanging in the air. Some Ebenezer Scrooge shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the Jacob Marley's going to come through the door at any moment. And Scully wakes up during the magic hour. You know, to a Ron Popeil infomercial.
Ron Popeil.
You right, you get the Ron Popeil infomercial. We grew up
with that shit. Did they pay him? Or did he get paid for that? Probably.
Maybe Fox owned the rights to the commercial. Maybe. Maybe they were just like, it's like running a commercial. And so, you know, she wakes up and gets the phone call that, like, you know, dad dies of a heart attack during, you know, that's the time of night that people have heart attacks. If you don't know, look that shit up. It's terrifying. Yeah. Everybody has heart attacks the same time of day.
Yeah.
And it's like, so Coy, who is a friend of ours, long-time listener, first-time caller.
This guy.
Coyd, who has a stupid name on the subreddit, so I'm not going to fucking say it. You guys can figure out who he is. he was saying that it was probably his favorite scene in the episode was when Scully sees her dad's ghost before she even knows he dies in like that clairvoyant moment. And Coyd says that there's something about him just sitting there with a thousand-yard stare, muttering silently.
That's creepy.
I have to say that I forgot he was like – talking but nothing was coming out and that she sees him, she's like, oh dad, what are you doing there, I thought you guys had left. And she looks away, turns back, it's like, and she just dismisses it right away, like, oh, I must have been dreaming, like, you know, you're in that twilight,
right?
But man, guys, it's too spooky for me. I think I gotta get off this podcast.
I love that because I love hearing ghost stories that are like that. Like,
yeah,
there's that one that there's that a train accident in the San Fernando Valley, I think it was. It's around here. But the guy was like texting or something moments before like the
right.
And like people died. But there was a man stuck under all that rubble, and he was dead. He was dead after the accident. He died. But his phone continued to call, and you can look this up on Snopes. It's real. His phone went through and called all of his loved ones, and when they picked up, it was just static.
Yeah.
So,
dude,
pretty interesting.
I just got goosebumps neck to toe, dude. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, dude. I love this shit because we're not supposed to experience that. We're not supposed to see that part of, I guess,
the universe?
Whatever level of existence that is.
Right.
And sometimes we get to peek through behind the curtain
a little bit.
Dude,
That's a thing that people say, though, too. I mean, The X-Files is really great at doing their homework on phenomena like this, and that's a thing that people experience is like not being able to hear what somebody is saying, you know, or just knowing that they're trying to tell them something without them having to speak. You know, it's a very unreal feeling, you know, and that's exactly what this episode gives you. Is like,
yeah, it does.
It's like, this is so fucking creepy. Like, I shouldn't be seeing this. That's how creepy it is.
Dude, and I love when, like, that part where Mulder leans in. He's like, this is part of my, like, sweatshirt. I just tore it off.
Yeah.
And then you see that come – you see the, like, the revelation come to fruition.
Yeah.
And at first you're like, oh, okay, no big deal. But it sets up the fact for when, you know, later on Boggs is like, oh, I knew the deal was, like, fake.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, was it a true premonition? Wasn't it? And then, like, the whole, like, you know, the rest of the episode plays out and all, and you're just like, man, like, they're, you know, this guy's, like, tapped into this, like, you know, this he's like a conduit, you know, to this other part of reality we're not supposed to see. And so now you as the viewer have to transpose yourself into Scully's shoes. You can be a person of faith like Scully is, you know. Dana Scully believes in God, you know, but she's a woman of science. She's a medical, you know, she's a medical autopsy-er.
That is the scientific term.
Like me, a man of science, a man of the English words. And so she, you know, and there's plenty of episodes that are about her conflicts with faith and science and stuff like that and all, but we know her as the skeptic. And then later on, we see her get painted as a woman of faith. But it's interesting that you would think that when in a show about science fiction and monsters and someone who's subscribing to all these conspiracies and whatnot, that Mulder would be the man of science, but it's Mulder who's blindly faithful. Like throughout the whole show, he's the one with the blind faith. And then he gets, you know, of course, like, you know, the crisis of conscience or crisis of faith every once in a while or whatever. But we have to transpose ourselves as Scully. Like, oh, we the viewers, even though some of us may be faithful or not, we like to consider ourselves people of science. So how can we believe this completely untrustworthy person? And then everything they're saying just keeps on, like,
this is
materializing.
The X-Files bread and butter, dude. Like, they love this shit much in this show. Yep. The whole thing of like, all right, here's this person, and this person is a liar and a killer and a government, like conspiracy, like, nut job, or even worse, a government agent who will lie and kill for any reason that he wants to.
Like X. We get to Mr. X later. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but is there an ounce of truth to this? Like, is this a real thing?
not only do you experience these things on your own, but it starts to make you question these things. Period.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I was going to say. The transition then for us is now, is there an ounce of truth to the show? Now, of course, we're watching the show and it's fiction and it's and whatever, you know, it's entertainment. But now we're like, well, if these ideas are out there, if I'm getting told these ideas, or if this is a possibility, if this is rooted in some kind of story, maybe some kind of monomyth that
we've
been telling forever.
Yeah, not to get back to Joseph Campbell, but there is truth and myth. I mean, truth. Truth is not fact. Fact and truth are two different things.
Dom, Josh, home run. Yeah. Dom, great point. That's out of the fucking park, man.
This is what we do, guys. Yep. We talk with you. You talk with us. We all learn a little something. But that's think about how crazy a trick that is the show, a piece of fiction, does to you. It starts to make you question things a little bit more.
Yep.
And whether or not you want to. But like you kind of have to step aside and be like, oh, man. This is some crazy X-Files shit. Like, you ever hear something and you're like, wow.
That's like the X-Files.
Like, I could totally see this being a real plot of a show.
Right.
But, like, I'm hearing about it in reality? That's interesting.
Yeah, man.
Like, the thing with the phone call that I just said. That's some X-Files shit.
That's some X-Files shit if I ever heard some right there.
It makes you wonder, like, I mean,
yo,
the X-Files are completely not real, right? Like, there's no equivalent in real reality to an X-Files department that we know of.
Right, no. Mm-hmm. But is there, Josh, I'm sorry for being like, yo, over top of your shit.
No, it's okay.
Dom, you were talking about that. And, all right, we're telling spooky stories. That's it. Forget this episode. That's it. Put it aside.
Tell me a spooky story. I love it.
Did you see the video? That this video was going around on the internet a couple weeks ago. It was news outlets reporting on it, and you can watch the raw video. You can watch the news reports about it. Just Google it. It's a guy has a giant plot of property, and he has cameras, motion sensitive cameras.
Oh, God,
that catch
this already
when,
freaks me out. Holy shit.
That catch when deer are on his property. And there's some real UFO shit. Like some for real UFO shit caught on these cameras.
Dude, you gotta send it to me.
Yeah,
dude, it's fucking creepy as hell. And when I watched it, Dom, I'm like, this is some X-Files shit right here, man. Like, no, 20 years later, now I know we're doing the show now, but like it's never left my vernacular. You know what I mean? Like it's always on my mind. And
it's that story I always tell you that you always want to hear about.
Dude, don't tell it. Tell it right now. Tell all our whole audience. Get ready. You're about to freak a couple dozen people out. No,
I was driving home in the middle of the day. It was probably like 3 o'clock and it was summertime. So it was real light out.
I can't listen.
And I was with my ex-girlfriend's sister and she was taking me home from I used to work at this beer place where it was a drive-through beer store. So she was taking me home and we were just driving in silence, like just maybe the radio was on. I don't remember, whatever. But I looked up and I saw in the sky a silver ball, like a floating there silver ball. And I was like, what the hell? That's so weird. And I looked away and I looked at her and then I looked back and it was gone. Like I was like, oh, what the fuck? And I I turned to her and I said, did you see that? And she was like, I don't want to talk about it.
What?
Dude. Yeah. And I was like, all right.
Spooky for me.
So.
Too spooky for me, man. Holy shit.
It was weird. Oh, it was God. Weird.
I just got goosebumps.
I know. It's fucking creepy. It's the acknowledgement. It's the acknowledgement that she wanted to remain ignorant. Yeah. Like, she couldn't even question.
That's the
she
scariest
open
thing.
Her, right. She, yeah. it was, it
she
was
scullied
so,
it, man.
Dude, it was so real. She couldn't even open her mind up to the possibility, Dom. It was crazy.
Here's the thing, man. Yeah. You think you know everything. You don't.
Yeah. Yeah,
we don't. Will never know everything. And there are things that are going to come to Earth and get us.
So better start hiding now. So
did you have you David Jacobs at Temple Dome?
What's that?
Did you have David Jacobs at Temple, the history professor?
Oh, dude, I didn't. I didn't. And I heard people who have had him,
yeah.
And I'm jealous.
He's a great professor. He never brought any of that shit up during any of the classes I had with him, but he believes, he's been on like the Sci-Fi Channel and stuff, he believes that we're all
teaches...
going to be slaves to aliens. That's what he believes.
Jesus Christ. It's so interesting. It's so interesting to think that somebody holds like a reputable position is willing to go full tilt on something like that.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we're a bunch of idiots, so I can understand us being dumb about this stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know. He knows about the Anunnaki and Humanzi. That's the thing. He knows.
They're abducting people, and we should fight them. That's what he thinks. It's like,
Jesus,
what are we gonna do? What are we gonna fucking do? If it's real, what the fuck are we gonna do?
Paul Ritchie is already the commander. He's already conframed Humanzi, commander of Humanzis. There's no stopping him.
The man's listening to the podcast right now. I know he is.
I know he is.
Every week.
Dude, every week we talk
God
about
damn
Paul,
it,
and every week Paul's
because
like,
"We know he's listening."
We know he's listening, man. Oh, dude.
Here's the thing,
I
man.
Love you, Paul.
Here's the thing. I get sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Oh,
what is that?
No.
What is that,
dude? That's abduction. That's abduction.
That's
truth
a completely
right
out of left field.
Yeah. No, it's,
but
it's
no,
abduction
that's,
truth.
That's what's neat about any of this stuff is that there is a little bit of truth to it.
Right.
And that suspends your belief. Just a little bit. It opens up your mind just a little bit, and that's a really neat thing that a TV show does.
This television show is the second most equivalent thing on television that there is to taking drugs. This show like does things to my brain that when you take like some sort of mind altering substance, it feels the same chemically to my brain.
That's why watching the show Stone is awesome.
I used to do that all the time, man. That and The Prisoner.
Oh, man.
I'd love
man.
That. Dude, we got to watch
I'm
that
a big
show.
TNG Stone fan.
Oh, dude, I would love. You know what? I watched a great episode of TNG today. Maybe we'll talk about it for another time on the podcast. Let's try to bring it back to this episode, though. We got a couple talking points to get to, some really good comments. Let's tell some more ghost stories. All right, so in this
can I
episode,
tell a quick ghost story that I read on Reddit?
Yes.
I always read those.
Fuck this episode.
I love when you read
them
to me.
Let's just tell the
ghost stories. dude, they're so much fun. I have them bookmarked. But one of them was a gentleman was out learning how to drive. He had an instructor. Mm-hmm. And they were approaching. It was like the middle of the day, like you said, Josh. And they were approaching a stop sign. And the driver goes, okay, and be sure to stop at the stop sign. And then there was a moment. And then next thing they know, the both of them are just – they're still driving, and they pass the stop sign. And the instructor turns to him and goes, did you stop at the stop sign? And the kid looked back and he's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Just time disappeared for
missing
a second.
Missing time, dude. Man. Yeah.
Missing time.
Dom, if you like those stories, which I know you do, you should subscribe to our Glitch in the Matrix. It's all a bunch of shit like that, like people waking up and like being in different realities.
This show tackles missing time and the idea like abduction stories and stuff like that. And what's interesting is that those stories had like sort of kind of like permeated like the consciousness, but not until this show did they like really get out there. I mean, like they were on Unsolved Mysteries and that Leonard Nimoy show. What was that called from back in the 70s?
Of.
Yeah, In Search Of. Like they were on there and everything, but like. Man, this show really brought it to like the forefront, you know, brought it to bear on everybody. All right, let's talk about the episode, I guess, whatever. All right, anyway, so something really important happens this episode, guys. It's very important for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Mulder calls Scully Dana.
That's yeah, and he love. Gets a little.
They're in love.
Gets a little they're handsy.
In, they're in love. In the very beginning, he calls her Dana, and even she remarks, she's like, Dana. Like, she says it to herself. Like, I think it's the first time on the show that either one of them has addressed each other by the first name. I know that she knows his first name is Fox.
Right.
But I didn't feel like watching 12 episodes to fact check that, so everybody's going to have to take me on my word there. But our listener Talks, who left a remark, left something on the subreddit. Talks was one of the people to point out that loves Beyond the Sea just because Scully believes and Mulder doesn't. So this episode is a great exercise in role reversal for characters, especially in this show, which deals with two protagonists. And so we see this a lot throughout the series, where there will be instances of them switching roles, and some for comedic effect, some to switch up our perspective, like this episode does and all. And there's a great part where Mulder says in the beginning where he's like, don't get me wrong, I want to believe. He's like, don't get me wrong, Boggs. I want to believe.
I want to believe.
Yeah. Which is his mantra, and he's been saying it, but he even says it to Boggs, and he even establishes it, like he had a will in the matter. The writers establish it in the beginning of the episode to reinforce that fact.
Right. Right.
That, like, he doesn't come in just being like, fuck this guy. So he's like, don't get me wrong, Boggs, I want to believe. But then he spends the rest of the episode derailing Scully's devotion to Boggs' breadcrumbs. Like, every time she tries to get on the track with that, you know, Mulder tries to pull her back. And then, so Dom had mentioned earlier, very creatively on the writer's behalf, they sideline him. They, like, just get him out of the picture.
Yeah.
So then we could have this unbridled,
She goes through the looking glass.
I was about to say, she goes all the way down the rabbit hole.
Not to spoil anything, but that's a little bit foreshadowing for what happens later in the series.
And in the myth arc episodes, which we might tackle some of them, because some of them are you can watch on your own. You kind of don't need to have a huge primer for.
They're not too complicated.
But
Mulder also says like Scully, like I you know that I believe in the paranormal and I believe in these things, but only when they're true.
Dude, that's my next note. Holy shit! How about that stuff, man?
But that's also makes him seem like kind of a dick, because who the fuck are you to know what's true?
Dude, coffee sports goes – or coffee spots.
Coffee
sorry,
sports.
Coffee sports. Sorry, coffee. I've only been quoting you for like the last 4 weeks. So coffee spot says I kind of wanted to slap Mulder, and it was like for his portrayal during this role reversal. And you're absolutely right. Like, so we have Mulder call –
That's a great note on the writer's behalf, because you kind of have to abandon Mulder, because everybody loves Mulder.
Right.
Yeah. But you got to go, man, Mulder, you got to get with the times. And, you know, you got to fucking be like, fuck this guy. He doesn't know what's up.
Yeah.
And you got to believe. And that's what every episode tries to make you do, is believe.
Absolutely.
Suspend belief. Some weird stuff's going to happen.
Yep. But also maybe if had he been more open-minded like he typically is in these situations, perhaps he wouldn't have been wounded, you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Maybe he would have had his head maybe on a more of a swivel, and he would have tried to like see the same things that Scully was seeing, like the angel and all that shit. You know,
it's also interesting that they switched their dialogue set, because by making Mulder the wet blanket, and people like, you know, bucking at that, like our listeners, like, you know, who watched the episode, who are like I didn't like it. You know, the way Mulder was acting. It's like, it's interesting though that you're so willing to accept it when Scully does that. I don't know what that says about that character, or maybe about gender roles, or what. But that's an interesting thing. I leave that to everybody else. I'm going to plant that seed in your brain, and I want you to think about that. So, Dom, 1 second. I'm sorry. Like, the end of that thought is just really simple. If you had Peter Griffin saying the things that Lois says, and Lois saying the things that Peter says, you know,
how would you feel?
Yeah, how would you feel? Would you be like, God, Peter, shut up?
Yeah.
You don't say it when Lois says it. When Lois says it, it's like, oh, okay, that's what Lois does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just that came to mind when I was watching this. You know?
That's interesting.
Because they're diametrically opposed to one another.
Even if you didn't like that was happening, go and think about this episode and think about how many times you had to go, oh, well, this is the moment where he's going to laugh and admit that he's been lying the whole time.
Right.
Like, there's so many times where you're just like, oh, I don't know. Is he? Because Mulder's not there to make you go, yeah, he is. Right. Yeah, he is doing
the creepiest.
Yeah, you know?
I'm sorry.
You're just experiencing it with Scully.
Yeah.
You're kind of trying to make those same decisions she is.
Yeah.
The creepiest part about it is like, till his death, he doesn't deny that he did it. Like, he he believes that he's done it. And we get a little peek into the reality of the situation in that he did do it. He was seeing these things because we saw them. So we have to take that as that's real. That's actually happened.
The audience gets it. Yeah. Like, had it been a movie, maybe that would have been omitted because it's like more rewatchable then or whatever. But as an episode of television, you know, he tells the story. It's in black and white. It's like, oh, all the ghosts are there. And then at the end of the episode,
they're there.
You see all the ghosts. Right. And you're like, oh, fuck me. Dude, it's like that movie Frailty. Like, that movie Frailty could have ended. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. Great movie.
No.
I can't have a conversation with you about it then. I'm sorry. But the whole movie is based on the idea that, like, Bill Paxton, he's getting messages from God. And the whole movie, you're like, is he? And like, that's it. It's great. And it's a great, like, sort of, like, you know, you don't know if he is or if he isn't and everything. And then the ending plays out, and I won't, you know, go watch the movie. It's a great movie or whatever. But it's they do give you a peek into what really happened, and it's almost as upsetting as had you not known, you know, like in the end. And
what happens?
This episode, I think – I don't want to tell you.
I don't want to watch Frailty.
Well,
I'm never going to watch Frailty.
Everybody can skip ahead a minute if they want. 2 minutes if they want. Not for no spoilers. He tells his sons the whole movie that he's been getting messages from God that he has to kill people that are demons. Okay. And his one son, who's like coming of age, who's played by Matthew McConaughey, well, so you think he is. They verbal ken it a little bit at the end. That's sort of like an unnecessary twist. But anyway, he's like he doesn't believe him. And because it's like his dad's just going around like axe murdering like seemingly normal people. And his dad's like, no, it's they're demons. God told me you have to see, you have to believe. Mm. And in the end, like a whole, you know, there's a whole bunch of twists and turns or whatever. And in the end, what happens is it actually, he was getting messages from God. It actually is a supernatural thing. And it's like twice as upsetting because the whole movie, you're the boy. You play, the whole movie's told from his perspective. You're like, no, I'm skeptic. I don't.
But that's
of course
exactly,
that's not the case.
That's and exactly what we were talking about though with the story that I told about the thing I saw.
Yep.
These
and
people
want
to
be
ignorant.
Like,
they don't
at the end of the movie,
know.
Dude, he like he's when he's being interrogated in this police office at the end, he gets up and like leaves and they go to look at the tape to see his face and the tape is like all blanked out.
Yeah.
And like everything he
like
does
contact.
Is like right, there's like a divine intervention to all the things he's doing.
Right.
And it's like, oh, there's divinity in all his actions. And so there's, you know, sometimes that works well. And this episode is a really good example of like we're showing the shark actually is scary. You know, not the shark not being there for an hour and a half is great. But then when the shark shows up, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, there really is a giant shark in that hallway.
Right. But
I'm mixing the fuck out of my metaphors now.
The rest of the people in this episode, like, are normal society. Like, when Scully goes to the DA or whatever and is like, you got to give him a deal. And he's like, I'm not giving this fucker a deal. This dude killed all these people.
He killed
his family on Thanksgiving. After then he watched the Packers game. Like, he fucking he doesn't want to deal with the possibility that there's something to this. And that's what this show does and gets more into later on, is the truth starts to become more undeniable. But the more the truth is shown to people, the more that they turn away and they're like, no. And they'd resist. And everyone resists like the possibility that this shit could be a thing, you know?
It could be real. Yeah. It's so interesting that like Mulder calls Scully a hypocrite for like believing Boggs and for following the lead and everything.
Right.
And Scully defends herself. Like, and she's like, I'm trying to be open-minded.
Right.
Like she says that to him and she's like, you know, like obviously it's all the episodes to that point. And now us having had watched the show for years and you go back and you revisit it and you're like, that's Mulder's whole crusade with her, is like for her to be open-minded. Cause if he can win her over, he can win anybody over. And,
she's not open-minded in the way that he wants.
Right. And so Mulder is taken aback though. Because it's like, no, this time it's not okay. And so when he connects the dots to her about her father and like how she's personally connected. And so she's mixing up her personal feelings with like her scientific or even her paranormal objectivism.
Right.
It's interesting that Mulder like questions her judgment about that, because that's the whole basis for this truth campaign that he's on, for his truth thing. Is like, you know, his sister gets abducted, so he has to find out what happened. Like, he has to solve the paranormal mystery.
Right.
So Scully's father dies and comes back and talks to her in a dream and not a dream. She tries to find some truth about it, and Mulder's like, you're a hypocrite. And that's really great writing. It's such great writing. Yeah. Because now you have the whole world that you've – well, it's a dozen episodes of the show. It's all turned on its ear. And you're like, I really don't know where this show's going to go now. And Josh, just like you said, like this truth that Mulder wants so desperately, it excludes certain possibilities, certain things. Mm-hmm. He's like, but this can't be real.
Right.
Like, this can't be real. And so we it takes Mulder down a peg. Like, he gets shot, he gets sidelined, he's not the main character. It shows that he's human, that he's the hypocrite, if anybody is in this episode, you know?
Right.
If we're mm-hmm. labeling people, you know? And that there's even this great part when Scully confesses to, like, following Bog's lead, Mulder reprimands her for being foolish.
Yeah.
And he's because
he sounds like every other FBI agent at that point. Right. He's not Spooky Mulder anymore.
He's not just Spooky Mulder.
A regular.
Which he refers to himself as, guys.
Which he calls himself Spooky Mulder in that sentence, too.
Yeah.
And because he tries to paint this portrait. But a little addendum to that is he doesn't just say it because she wasn't following doing good police reports. Police work, because he's like, why would you lie on your report, which he does say, but he's like, think about what, if that was a setup, what Boggs could have done to you.
Right.
So it wasn't just about her being a good police officer. When he admits that, like, it's not just this ethereal thing he's after. It's not just this, you know, this big picture he's looking at, that, like, there's somebody close to him that he cares about. You know?
Yeah, and right, because he's after leprechauns most of the time. He's after things that have no basis of relevance or rationalization in human everyday life. But Boggs is an actually dangerous human being.
Yeah.
Right. He's real. He's tangible. Josh, you hit the nail on the head with the leprechauns, man. Little green men.
Yeah.
dude, you're right. Boggs is actually – he's an actual known threat.
Yeah.
And there's no way that like with Toombs in the other – when he comes back, like, you know, he's in that one episode and then he comes back later. It's like, this isn't some guy who, like, may have done something and we can come back and talk to him. There's another good episode where Mulder convicted the serial killer, and then the serial killer offers him some revelations about his sister. We'll get to that episode. We're definitely going to watch that episode because Tom Noonan's in it. It's great. I don't remember the name of the episode. It escapes me now. But for just the same reason, Josh, it's like he presents an actual danger. He's not like – oh, maybe the aliens just want to talk to me, or maybe the werewolf just needs to be discovered and he won't be dangerous.
Right. Right. Mulder's willing to put him and even Scully in danger when it comes to finding something that's new, that's unknown. Like,
unknown.
He thinks that that's worth it. Like, it's worth it.
Because that's the truth.
Right. Because that's something that needs to be seen.
It's an absolute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the first episode of the second season, which I definitely want to do, where he's basically in a room talking to himself the whole time, dissects that, and he really breaks that down, and he's like, but why do I want these things? And do I want those things because they're easier to believe than the reality? Like, is the reality harder to accept? I don't know, man.
This is a great show that on its surface, like, you're like, oh, it's just ghost stories and stuff. But, like, it really is about, like, how human beings deal with fear and, like, what they need to believe in, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's about, dude, that's the truth.
I don't want to talk about it, man.
I don't want to talk about it. Yep.
The two main points are in the show's tagline. The truth is out there. So we're talking about, like, something that's either empirical or faith-based, and you're talking about the unknown, the truth, and some other place that's not here, and something unsafe, you know? And we have two great character, we have two great character studies to put that through, and they're dynamic. Throughout the series, they're dynamic with each other and all. And let me just say that when Mulder said that shit to Scully about, you know, him being afraid that she was going to get killed, man, in 1994, that was prime shipping material. That was your OTP right there, man. Mulder and Scully forever, man. That moment on, all you wanted them to do was kiss.
Yeah. You got to wait a long time.
Yeah, wait a long
time. Like a long...
Yeah, this ain't Cheers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cheers, they made him do it.
It's not the many loves of Sam Malone. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, we got to do a Cheers episode, man.
Oh, no.
Tom, what episode of Cheers do you want to do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I have to think about it. I really like I really like the sad Sam ones. Because they're real, man. I'll argue, and this is a complete tangent.
Cheers?
I will argue.
Cheers. You want to do the sad episodes of Cheers.
Because Cheers is a better... People say Seinfeld is the best sitcom of all time. Wrong. Seinfeld might be the funniest sitcom of all time.
Uh-huh.
Cheers is the best one because you actually care about the characters. Mm-hmm. And Okay. Didn't cost that much to produce. It's kind of like an amazing
piece kind
of
it was huge. I remember,
but it was it went on for 9 seasons or so. But the, Cheers is the greatest sitcom of all time because you actually do care about the characters, and it does get sad, and it does leave you sometimes being like, "Well, that's life. I'm sorry. Like, we're not going to have a happy ending here."
Yeah,
Tom, I love you. Let's watch, guys. Let's watch the sad episodes of Cheers.
Yeah, I'll find them. There's one called Dark Imaginings where Sam is like Christ. Sam like gets a hernia.
Oh yeah,
it's a good one. Do you know what the end of that episode is? No, you gotta go watch it.
I like the Cosby Show. I think we should watch the Cosby Show episodes where they teach you something.
Where they teach you something?
Hell yeah, that's every episode.
when
I learn something new every time.
Yeah, man. Dude. Yo, how about when like the son. Rudy, what's his name? He doesn't go to college and he's supposed to. There's another episode where one of the other kids, I think it was Rudy, she's like, somebody's racist to me.
Yeah.
Man, Rudy got into a lot of trouble on that show, I'll tell you. I like the Cosby Show. And
Cosby Show is a great show, man.
All right, I think that might be about it. Did we talk about everything in this episode? Man,
we talked about a lot of things.
Woo! We talked about a doozy shit ton of stuff in this episode.
Yeah,
yeah, we went all over. Any more ghost stories you want to tell?
How about instead of syndicate it, we just do ghost stories?
Yes.
I have one that's a friend, but it's kind of like goofy in the sense that like it's really hard to believe, but he swears by it.
I want to hear it.
Should I tell it right now?
You should tell it right now.
Okay. The setup is that his grandfather is very old. Mm-hmm. This is a long time ago when people would die in their houses, not in hospitals.
And not from murder.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He died of natural causes in his bed.
Uh-huh.
But he's gonna die. The whole family's together. All the parents, he's a kid, all the parents are like, you know, doing whatever, you know, upset, and you know, it's late in the night and he's gonna die, and the kids are just watching a movie.
I'm sorry for laughing, go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, it's kind of a ridiculous sentence, but yeah, that's how things are. But it's very blunt.
Yeah.
But the kids are in the living room. There's a bunch of kids and they're about to like watch a movie, and a movie's coming on, and he swears by this.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from whatever. Out of down the hallway where his grandfather's room was, there was like this ball of like something, like this like floating ball, I guess, of energy of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And it comes down through the living room and crosses over, like passes the TV and goes out the door. That's what happens.
That's
to
crazy.
This ball. Jesus. And my buddy Sam watches it, and he's watching that all happen, and then he looks back over to everyone else and they're all looking at him, and he goes, "Did you guys just see what I just saw?" And they're all like, "Yes." So
nice.
It's pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
Dom, is that the Sam I know?
Maybe.
Okay. That's a creepy story, man. I mean, they had a chance to catch a Slimer, and they
I know, that's what I'm
it.
Saying.
They kind of blew it there, but...
I mean, I've seen Ghostbusters before. I don't think you want to catch a Slimer.
No, the Slimer catches you, dude.
Dude, he'll eat all your hot dogs.
Yeah.
Come on.
He smells like shit, man. It smells like someone took a huge dump in here.
This summer... Coming to a supermarket near you. There's going to be a great new high C flavor with an outrageous food taste. And what are we going to call it? Ecto Cooler.
All right, guys. This is the moment of the week you're always waiting for. Syndicate it. But I don't know. Should we just tell us? Does anyone have a ghost story? I feel like it's more appropriate since we told a couple ghost stories.
Oh, man.
Josh, I know you got one.
I know Josh has got ghost stories.
I got a few ghost stories.
Go ahead.
I was asleep one night. I was probably 21, and my house is real creepy. It's real old. My great grandparents died in this house.
Jesus.
Note that doors have slammed shut before.
Yeah, doors.
Lights have come on.
Yeah, door slam. Lights come on. Not so much. That hasn't happened in a long time, but. I don't know, when I was maybe 21 to, like, 25, like, lots of crazy weird shit was going on in this place. So, like, one night I wake up, and I feel like somebody woke me up, right? Like when you shake someone, when you, hey, wake up, you know? And I was awake. I was immediately awake. And I was sleeping then in the living room. I had this a different couch than I have now, but it was a much bigger couch. And I looked behind the couch where actually my bed is now, weirdly enough. there was a floating ball of dark whatever just floating above me. And in my head, it was a hand. In my head, it looked like someone's hand moving across.
Like, and this wasn't sleep paralysis. You were awake and you could move.
I was awake. And this went on for months. Like, I would wake up because of, like you said, doors would slam. My then girlfriend would come over a lot in the middle of the night because she was away at college. And when she wanted to just come to my house, she would show up really late at night. Like, I'd already be asleep. She would just come over and just sleep here. Many of the first times I started hearing things, I thought it was her. Like, I thought it was her coming over really late.
Yeah.
To the point where I would be like, I would call her name out. I'd be like, is that you? Like, are you here?
Oh, man.
And nobody would answer. And a light would be on. And I didn't. Didn't sleep with the lights on, you know. Like,
Josh, did, and this has stopped happening. You said,
"Yeah, it doesn't happen."
Well, dude, I mean, as far as
I
know,
well, I was going to say it. I think all those ghosts died, so that's pretty good. But if
they're
the ghosts,
ghosts now,
dude, I was going to say if the ghosts of your great grandparents die in the house,
yeah.
Double ghost? No, thank you.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
getting double haunted though. I don't think.
I get sleep paralysis from time to time. It's usually when I'm really stressed, but I nap on my back because I power nap a lot. I nap maybe once a day for 10 minutes, and I got really good at it in college because my schedule was really stressful. It was really I was either at work or at school at all crazy times, and so I would get home sometimes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I would be dead tired. So I had to learn to power nap, and I did. And as a result of that, I started having sleep paralysis, which, if you don't know, it's where you become conscious, but your body is still in REM sleep, which you can't move it. You know, you're paralyzed because if you see anyone who can't enter REM sleep. They are just flailing about going crazy. But anyway, my brain wakes up, my body doesn't, and my brain is panicking because it's like, I'm awake, you should be awake.
Yep.
Like, it's that whole head talking to the body thing. And then it starts freaking out, and then sometimes it's just like, okay, just going to wait a couple of seconds, and it's going to be okay, I'll be fine. But other times it's like, oh, hold on a second, there is a black figure, just this darkness, figure of darkness coming into my room very slowly. And it's coming, and it sometimes it just watches, and sometimes it walks up to your bed, and it's walking real slow, it knows you can't move. And it's like, it's horrifying. And you try to move, and your hand's moving this as slow as possible, slower than slow motion. It's just the scariest thing in the world. And then all of a sudden it ends. But I told that to my new roommate, Ben, who his parents are from Korea. And he was like, the Koreans actually have a word for that. And he told me it. And he's like, it kind of means something about it translates to something to the effect of that this is a spirit that's visiting you at that moment. Because it is always different. It's not always the same black thing.
It's not a reoccurring nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, I remember the last time it happened, I was at my first place here in LA, and it happened, and I saw a man walk into my room and just sit down and watch me.
I remember when you told me about that.
That was one of the scariest ones, yeah.
That's fucking horrifying.
Yeah. I've definitely had some sleep paralysis before, and finding out what it was called, learning about it and everything after the fact, after it happened a few times over a few years and all. And that's where the myth of the the myth of the succubus came from,
right?
And the idea
and
of
aliens,
and the modern myth of alien abduction and all that. But still, when it happens to you, I'm glad it stopped happening to me. It's not it's one of those things I don't miss,
Tell me about it.
But Dom, man, I'm sorry. If he ever gets to you before you wake up, you're gonna die. That's what happens.
Dom, I have something to tell you. It was me. I just wanted to watch
you. It's kind of heartwarming. Aww. You're checking up on me.
I flew to LA and I was like, I gotta go check on Dom. But I was climbing a fence and I fell into this mud puddle because there's a lot of those in the desert.
And then you got tarred.
I fell in the La Brea tar pit.
No!
And I was like, well,
Josh is a woolly mammoth now.
Yeah, I flew all the way here, so I still gotta go check on Dom. And that's what that was.
I don't have a ghost story, but I do have a spooky story. Actually, I do have one ghost story. It's too long for this podcast. I'll tell the beginning. I'll tell the end. The beginning was I went to college in Kutztown, so that's scary. And yeah. The end of it was that again, this is a super long story, but like the whole it's like a Scooby-Doo mystery. This kid swore that his room was haunted. All these unexplainable things were happening. It was happening in October. Our building suffered frequent blackouts. There was a story about how the elevator didn't work in or was out of service in our building. It was Schuylkill Hall at Kutztown because a little girl had fallen down the shaft a year or two
There's
before.
There's always a little girl.
Right. Either 1998 or 1999. Who knows if that's true, and that she had died. And that's why the elevator was out of service. So there were all these factors that like played into this spooky ghost story. And my hall was the only hall that was co-ed by room. So it wasn't wing or floor. It was room to room was guy and girl. So, of course, you know, college, everybody wants to be scared. Everybody wants to huddle together when the lights are out. And these stories about this kid on the first floor and the ghost haunting him and the things happening in his room, just they kept on permeating and they kept on getting bigger and bigger. And it was just like fishtails and all. And then about a month after the stories ended – everybody got a little flyer slipped under their door one day. It was just, I want to say middle of November, right before Thanksgiving break. And it was like, oh, there's going to be a floor meeting with your RA or whatever. And like, so we get together and the meeting everybody had all over the building with all their RAs was like, hey, if you're on prescription medication, you need to take it. That was what the meeting was about. And what we put together, what we figured out was, and we got it out of our RA because he was a total pothead and he smoked weed all the time. We called his room the green room, actually. The kid on the first floor was schizophrenic.
Yeah, and he was doing all that shit.
He stopped taking his medication because, why would he stop taking his medication while he's at college? Because
he wanted to drink.
And it says, you know, your heart will stop or whatever the fuck it says.
But you're already on the medication. That's the fun part.
So he was just – it was psychosis. It was just – he saw ghosts. Like all the things that were happening in the room that he couldn't explain, like, oh, he would come in the room and the TV was unplugged or there was a hole in the wall. He was doing all that. He just didn't remember
it. Didn't remember it. Mm-hmm.
And it's like – and so it's twice terrifying because like he could have came in and there's a dead body in here. How did it get here?
Yeah.
And it's somebody must from another floor. Ghosts. Oh, it must have been spooky ghosts and not me. I'm going to have another yingling.
The police show up and they're like, this looks like ghost.
So that's my only non-spooky ghost story. That's some TB ghost shit.
TB
right
ghost shit, man. Killing people. Dude
but I do have a scary story. One morning I woke up and a house centipede was on my face.
That's the scariest story I've heard all show.
That's a true story.
That's an X-Files.
I was opening my eyelids and it must have woken me up like
ew.
And it was coming across my face like I remember it so vividly.
Yeah, it was.
And when I hey, what's up there, player? And when I opened my eyes and I turned over, he was just scuttling along and I was like,
what did you do?
I just let him go. What was I gonna do? He already won. Yeah, I know. I burned the house down and moved, dude. That's what I did.
Cats are bug police.
Dude, my cats kill them. They love them.
My kitten in LA would kill the flying ants. Dumb. Carl. Oh my god. Carl loved killing them. He would backflip across the room to kill a flying ant. He fucking loved
Damn.
It. But in my worst nightmare scenario is that the house centipede was on my face eating a spider. That was the reason why he was on my face, was a spider was already on my face.
I think
it would
be the other way around, wouldn't it be?
No, they eat spiders. That's what they do.
Oh, they eat spiders?
That's why they're in your house. If they're
in
your house.
Anything could eat spiders.
It's because you got a spider problem, son. But yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think that just about does it. X-Files Beyond the Sea, Season 1, Episode 13. We watched it. Thank you all for watching with us. Leaving your comments, your input, your criticisms, your things on the subreddit. Appreciate it as always. Not a ton of discussion about this episode, guys. We encourage you to get out there and comment. Start a dialogue. Have a thing.
What did you call it earlier?
Have a listen.
Have a listen.
And leave a write. on the subreddit about next week's episode that we're going to be tackling on Syndication Station, X-Files, Darkness Falls, Season 1, Episode 20, Double Dose X-Files, originally intended to be double shot in 1 week. We couldn't work it out because of our schedules, and I'm also going to give everybody the heads up that even though you'll be listening to this episode on a Friday, like most of our episodes, next week's episode may either be late on a Friday or on the Saturday after, so it may be either May 2nd or May 3rd. Some of us are going to be out of town. We have a lot of work that we have to catch up on and whatnot, and we're just
I'm going crunched. To a kissing competition.
I hope you
I'm getting ready for it. I'm doing lip push.
Get my lips ready.
I'm putting chapstick on with a dildo.
Is there any other way to put it on?
during PAX, we made up a couple stories about Paul, and one of them was that like he took a paint roller to his lips and just lathered them up with chapstick, and then that evolved into him dipping a double-ended dildo
into the chapstick
into a big vat of like. Chapstick.
He's the only man.
It.
He's the only man I've ever known. Any human being I've ever known to finish
to
a chapstick.
Finish a chapstick before losing it. Get out of here.
You That's, always lose it.
I've
first.
Been working on the same one for 3 years.
Paul finished it that weekend. Like he's just eating it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's funny you guys told that story about Paul and didn't make it up.
No. That's how he applies
the paint roller. That's what I'm saying. That's how he does it. Yeah. So guys, we're going to be to all of our listeners. Just. Stick with us. Be patient. If you don't get the episode on the 2nd, it will be out on the 3rd, hopefully, with all the best intentions. And again, episode X-Files. X-Files episode season. Oh, my God.
Episode 20, Darkness Falls.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you.
You got it. And hey, by the way, guys, if you like the show, if you're having a good time, go ahead and leave an iTunes review. That's really going to help us out because that'll help us get featured, which will get us more listeners, which will have Steven Spielberg listen to the show. And he'll say, I want you boys to write a movie. And we'll be like, we don't know how to do that, but we'll give it a shot. And then that'll be a TV show.
Yeah.
It'll be Goonies 3. That'd be great. We'll just skip over 2 and go right to 3.
But in all honesty, thank you for leaving reviews and thank you for your constructive criticism and thank you for joining in on the conversation. You make the show because all of our talking points are things you guys bring up. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we
want
to hear what you have to say because
we ain't got shit to say.
All of your participation on social media, all your input on the subreddit. We're going to get to some of your recommended episodes at some point, probably fairly quickly. There's a couple other things we'd like to try out with the show. Again, we'd like to get to a week where we can get 2 episodes up in a week. It just... You know, we had all the best intentions of the world. You know, we're a little busy tackling a couple new shows, catching up on some stuff, but we're getting there. Hopefully we can feature a special guest sometime soon. No announcements on that yet, but that may be imminent upon arrival. I don't know if I said that last week too, but
I don't know what that means.
We got to get Satchel on this.
It's going to happen.
God,
dude, I want
right
Satchel on the show so badly. Mm. God, he just won't return my phone calls though. Just kidding.
I know. He returned my Hearthstone invite.
I'm just kidding. Satchel and I went out to a concert like last week. It was a good time. But yeah, man. So yeah, man.
So until next week.
Again, thank you, our listeners. You know, anything that you can do to help promote our show, tell your friends to listen to it, make tapes of it, sell it out on the street, whatever you got to do. You got to do it. And so again, guys, we'd like to say that anytime we recommend an episode, it'll be for one reason or another. We're just not picking things blindly in the dark. So, I mean, if we understand if you prefer one show to another, or if you don't like something, we want to hear about it. Please say something. But if you have anything bad to say about the X-Files, you can just get the fuck out because this show is great. And every episode is a goddamn gem.
We will have a problem.
You will go to hell and I will send you there. Ooh. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great one. This is this week's ending.
Have a good week, everyone. I'll see you later.
Bye.
We'll see you later.